Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to Wickham Baptist Church to our worship service this morning. If you are visiting with us, we want to welcome you and our home folk. But if you have any in your bulletins, there's a tear off. If you have any concerns or prayers or anything, you can use that tear off and just put it in the offering plate as we take up the offering this morning. We have several announcements, so please bear with me. We had 27 in Sunday school today. Continue to encourage everyone to attend Sunday school. We have classes for all ages and really have a good time and enjoy that. I'd like to thank everyone that made the clothes giveaway we had here yesterday possible. We're busy and we appreciate all the donations and also appreciate the ones that came and helped provide that ministry. Don't forget, we'll have this in the bulletin next week. I didn't get it in it this week. May the 8th is conference night, and we'll have Wednesday night supper. We'll have supper at 6:30, and then we'll have prayer meeting and conference. So invite everyone to come, enjoy that time of fellowship, and be here for conference and prayer time, prayer meeting on May the 8th. The flowers today are in memory of Mr. O.J. Hall, and they are beautiful, so I'd like to announce that. I have a card here I will read also, and then we'll look at the announcements in the bulletin. It's from to my church family. Words cannot express the love and kindness showed to Paul and I. Several of you prepared a meal, prayed for us, and we are so grateful. God is a good God. I have cried many a tear, knowing God was taking care of us. You never know what God has in store for us or what trials will come our way. I know God has blessed our church through this. I never thought I was going to make it, but God said we will have tribulations. Even so, even over a small pair of scissors, just trust Him. Thank you again. Love, Phyllis and Paul Crosby. So continue to remember Phyllis and Paul in your prayers on that. Church Council Dream Team meeting May the 5th at 4:30 p.m. The Church Council Dream Team, if you would like to attend that meeting, you're welcome to attend it. But we would like to see all directors, Sunday school teachers, or if you are a chairperson or on a committee, serve on a committee with the church, we'd like for you to attend that meeting as we discuss some things that we need to discuss and move forward and making some plans and things like that. Mother's Day is May the 12th. Don't forget that. There'll be no PM service that day. We'll have Sunday school and worship service at 11. Standing in the Gap Men's Supper is May the 16th at 7 p.m. All men, young men, and boys, we welcome you to that. It's time once again for the Georgia Baptist Children's Home truck load. Items needed are gift cards. If you get a gift card, they really like them, but write the amount on the card so they'll know how much it's for. But we'll need laundry detergent, instant potatoes, instant au gratin or scalloped potatoes, gravy and taco mixes, salad dressings, non-aerosol bathroom cleaner. So we'll have a plastic tote or a tote put out in the front here and as you walk in the church to bring those items in. And we'll let you know next week when the deadline is on that. I haven't gotten the deadline yet, but we'll let you know on that. So if you can, help support that ministry there. The Hope Room is in need of plastic containers. If you would like to donate, see Jan Hoff or Sissy Omer. We need to restock the food pantry, y'all. Food pantry. Please help by donating non-perishable items. So if you can help us restock that, just a word on that. It's good that we have to restock because it means we are reaching out to people in the community that are in need, y'all. And, so if you can help us do that, and a lot of it goes through here that we don't mention, and I know that we don't say anything, we don't advertise it. We shouldn't. That's just, you know, we shouldn't advertise it. a lot of families are being helped through this food pantry, y'all. And it's an important ministry. And so if you can, help us restock that. And I'm sure Brother Tim will say more about this. Ask the preacher, what question would you like to ask? Write out your question, and he has it here. He'll say more, you know, right out on the back in the table there, on the table. Write out your question the best you can using topic versus doctrine. Not a must, but if you will, if you can, write your name in case he has and needs clarification or something. There's a box in the back. So if you want to put the pastor, if you want to put the pastor on the spot, ask him a biblical question and give him some help. Put the verse and the or the topic or whatever on there. And I'm proud of him. That's all I can say. I'll probably be the first one to put something on to because we all do it. Seriously, we all have questions and all, and sometimes we, you know, we don't have a place for an open forum sometimes, but he'll tell you more about this maybe on Wednesday nights or something, and he'll discuss this with me, and he may go over the questions or something like that. So please use it, y'all, and be interesting to know, and it'll help him also, give him where he needs to go with the teaching and where we might need to go with the teaching and all of that. So any other announcements, y'all? I know that's a lot. Brother Tim will introduce our speaker in a few minutes, and we will take a love offering up for the Gideons at the end of the service. I will ask you, if you write a check, make it out to Wigham Baptist Church, and designate it to the Gideons on the check somewhere, and we will write one check from the church to the Gideons. That way it's just easier for the bookkeeping to do it that way on that. Any birthdays?
Not me.
Not you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here today. Lord, I do want to lift up Brother Pat to you, the Gideon speaker today, as he brings the good works and the good things that the Gideons are doing, Lord. Lord, I pray for that offering today, Lord. I just pray that we'll give sacrificially to that, Lord. This organization is a Christian organization that helps just worldwide distributes Bibles, Lord, and we know how important that is, Lord. We hear more from that. But I do just want to lift up this worship service today to you, Lord. I pray that we've come today, Lord, with open hearts to hear your word, Lord, that we have prayed about the worship service, Lord, and we come here today and we focus on our Lord Jesus Christ today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Here. Well, it's time to praise our Lord in song. If you can, please stand as we sing together. Shout to the Lord.
Tower of refuge and strength. I'm take up this office and be glorified in your name and do your will. I'll just have your father's name up. Amen.
Share, and then when he gets done, I'll come up and I'll do a short sermon. I promise it'll be short, and then we'll take up a love offer before we get in. So y'all welcome Brother Pat to come be with us.
Well, good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Andre was born in the Soviet Union. As he grew up, his parents taught him all there was to know about socialism, communism, and the great Soviet military machine. He then applied all those lessons he learned and became a big shot in the Soviet military. But years later, he quit all of a sudden and began to do missionary work in that part of the world on behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's a man named Chuck. He lives a lot closer. He's from the great state of Ohio. And as a youngster, he had a terrible, terrible addiction to drugs. So what did he do? He joined the Navy, thinking it was going to fix the problem. But it did not. And he spent almost his entire 4-year enlistment cleaning bathrooms, garbage cans, and doing other dirty, thankless jobs. But believe it or not, Chuck is now a head pastor in his hometown. Now, there's not a whole lot common with these two people, of course, except for two things. First, they both made a radical change in their life. That change was a decision to turn from themselves and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and against themselves. The second thing is what prompted that change, and that is the Word of God from our ministry, the Gideon Ministry. Now, most people already know us by our activity placing Bibles in hotel rooms, which is something that we still do to this day. And it has the potential of reaching 200 people per room each and every year. But let me tell you a few other things about our ministry as well that you might not know. Gideon's is really a brotherhood of businessmen and retired businessmen who come together for fellowship and to promote the Word of God, which, if we read in Genesis 1, was the Word itself what brought this world into existence. And if we read in Revelation 19, it's the Word of Jesus that is going to cause all nations to ultimately fall just like that. And then in between, it's also the word of God that inflicted horrible plagues in Egypt. It humbled many kings. It's the same word that turned water into wine and fed 4,000 people with just 7 loaves and a few fish. It also raised a man named Lazarus from the dead. But one thing the word does for us each and every day is it gives us a warning against rebelling against God, but also gives us peace and comfort about his steadfast love for those who obey God, who submit their lives entirely to God. And this is best summed up, the steadfast love of God, in Psalm 86 from King David. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all day and all night. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there ever any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. For you alone are God. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may walk in the truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor that those who hate me may see and be put to shame, because you, O Lord, have helped me and have comforted me. Now, the good news about our ministry is that we kind of borrow our name from a man named Gideon in Judges chapter 7. And in that passage, it's about a man who did a lot with a little. In this case, he killed 120,000 enemies of Israel with just 300 men. Our ministry is also in complete obedience to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. That's when our Lord says that whoever acknowledges him before men, he will acknowledge him before God the Father. We also find very much purpose in our mission because of what God says in the book of Isaiah chapter 55. So shall my word go out from my mouth. It shall not return empty, but it shall accomplish all which I propose, which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. In other words, the word of God never goes out in vain. It always fulfills God's intended purpose each and every time. Gideons also believe that if Christianity was a sport, it would not be a sport that would be a spectator sport that we just sit and watch from the bleachers. It would not be an individual sport either. It would be a sport in which contact is mandatory. And we see this as basically an opportunity, a privilege, instead of some sort of obligation requirement. We see it as something much better, much more precious, because we all get to participate in God's plan of salvation, which is simply a consequence of God's grace and mercy and love for allowing us to do that. One other kind of neat characteristic about our ministry is that it was founded in 1908, And it took 93 years before the first billion copies of the word was distributed by the Gideons. But the second billion only took 13 years. So 93 years for the first billion, 13 years for the second billion. But yet, we're not a real huge organization. We're 150,000 members, but we're scattered across 200 different countries. So we lean heavily on help from others, such as our Gideon's Auxiliary, which is the Wives of Gideon's. And we also depend heavily on local churches for financial support, and we rely completely on local churches to add membership to the Gideon ministry. But here's the good news. You don't need to be a person that no longer struggles with sin to be a member of the Gideons. That whole idea isn't biblical anyway, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, which says that all believers still have to work at abstaining from sin, which weighs against our soul, which wages war against our soul. You don't need to be a Bible scholar. I'm sure not. Nor do you need to be a person who has every corner of their life exactly right, from family, friends, finances, employment, etc. No Gideon has their life set up that way. Marital status doesn't matter either. And what does matter, though, is just a desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And while our service was initially oriented around Bible distributions and hotels, we've dramatically expanded beyond that. An example is the Georgia Gideon's presence in the Georgia correctional system. We are the only organization that the governor of Georgia allows in certain high security corners of those prisons. Our own county, which is Lowndes County, Valdosta, we have a presence in funeral homes, community events, festivals, and student events at our local Valdosta State University. And meanwhile, Gideons in other parts of this state have their own similar ministry, and Gideons around the world do the same thing in their countries as well. And the need is huge. That's because we all have one thing in common, without exception, whether we're in this church today or somewhere out in the community. And that is, we're all sinners in desperate need of a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ alone, who is Emmanuel, the chosen King. As a baby, he made the angels sing. The one who is the author of all history and is the answer to all our mysteries. He's the Lamb of God who rolled away the stone in front of every grave. And in him, death has lost and love has won. Let's pray. Holy Lord, we just thank you for your time, for our time together in your presence. We thank you for your Son Jesus, who is the Savior of all sinners who come to him in faith and repentance. We thank you for all your love and your grace that teaches us self-control and to say no to worldly passions. We thank you for your Spirit to give us power to live according to your will. May we also use that power to serve you and understand that serving in one way or another is an obligation, it's a privilege, and it's an opportunity to participate in your plan of salvation. I also want to personally ask you in prayer to continue to bless this wonderful church and these beautiful people, that you may receive even more glory through the way they handle their own challenges in life and the way they serve others and love others. We just love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Brother Pat. Well, if you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm 119. It's always good to hear what God is doing. And, you know, whenever we give to God's work, if God's laid it on our hearts to do it, then he's already got a plan in motion to accomplish it. We just have to trust and believe that when we give and others go, or if he tells us to go and we're obedient, he's already made the way possible. We just need to trust in it and trust him through it. Well, I thought with the time we had remaining this morning, we would read Psalm 119. You know how many verses it is? 176. Nah, just kidding. We're gonna read. Y'all looking at me like he's crazy. We're gonna read the first 11 verses. But what I want us to realize is that as we read through here, and I've read through about 3 or 4 times this week, all 176 verses. But you can go through here, and you'll find the words, the law, statutes, commandments, precepts, ordinances, the way. All those words are meaning, they're almost synonyms for the Word of God. They are synonyms for the Word of God because God has given us His Word to be able to do what? To live the way He wants us to live. And any time we are living and walking and breathing outside the will of God, you and I cannot be happy about it. If you're truly a child of God, because the reality is, as a child, was I hard-headed and disobedient? Or you? We were all that way, amen? You can think you were mama's little angel, but you wasn't, you know? So the thing is, we realize that in order to be happy ourselves, to be blessed ourselves, we have to act in obedience to God's will. Just like a child does to a parent. They act in love, they act in responsibility, they act accordingly because they know that the more they walk in the ways of their mom and dad, they're going to be happy. Amen? If not, we're going to be getting our backsides tanned. But here's the thing. I want us to go ahead and read these verses real quick, and then we'll move on down through. Psalm 119, verse 1, says, blessed. Now, what does blessed mean? It can mean happy. It can mean happy. It doesn't always mean happy, but it can mean happy. So we're going to use this blessed. We are receiving the blessings of God. Blessed and happy are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the what? The law of who? The Lord. Blessed are those who keep His what? Who seek Him with all heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His what? Ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn of your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against You, we pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we have read these 11 verses, Lord, I pray that You'll use them to speak to our hearts just in the next few minutes. Lord, I pray that You would lead us and guide us in Your ways. Lord, teach us Your word. But Lord, as we pray that, we realize in order for You to teach it, Lord, we must read it. We must look at it. We must hear it. We must apply it to our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, have Your way in our hearts and lives, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing we realize is that if we want to be blessed or happy, as I have already stated, that we need to learn to walk in the ways of God. Because, as I already stated as well, when we're not walking in God's ways, we cannot, we're not going to receive His blessings. Because as a parent, when my kids directly disobeyed me, did I reward them for their disobedience? If you did, you're teaching your kid to keep on doing wrong. Amen? If I want to bless my children, I want them to be obedient to me. I want them to be happy in our relationship, but there's a coexistence there. So in order for me to bless them, they have to act in the ways that I have tried to train them up in. And that is what God has given us His Word for. He has given us His Word for our exhortation, for our admonition. He has given this to us as an example of how we should and how we should not live. Because if you've been reading your Sunday school lesson for the past few months, you realize that there's a lot of obedience, but there's a whole lot of disobedience in ways that we're not supposed to do and act. And so for us to be happy, for us to be blessed and receive the blessings of God, we need to walk according to His Word. Secondly, we realize that we can be blessed or happy when we keep His testimony. In verse 3, it tells us when we walk in His ways. In verse 4, it says when we keep His precepts diligently. In verse 5, says when we keep Your statutes. Verse 6, we will not be ashamed when we look into all Your commandments. In verse 7, He says, I'll praise You with uprightness of heart when I learn Your righteous judgment. Verse 8, I will keep Your statutes. Verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his ways? And can I tell you, this isn't being prejudiced, but that word, how can a young man, we can translate that to a young woman, to a child, to a teenager, to the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, all the way up, whether it's a man or a woman, right? How can a person cleanse their ways? Well, you can't do it on your own. It's the Word of God that cleanses us. It is the Word of God that shows us our filth and our sin and our lies and our deceptions and everything else that we've got going on inside of our lives. And it shows us and it reveals us, because as you read the Word of God is doing what? It's reading you. It's exposing you. Because that's what God's Word does. It shows us who we are. Because if we don't know who we are, how can we ever change to be what God wants us to be? It is through the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and convicts us. And sometimes we even get on our own high horse, don't we? Because we think, oh, I'm doing pretty good. Look at so-and-so over there. And you know what the Word of God does? It shows us you ain't no better. You're a sinner that needed saving just like they do. And so we have opportunity to realize, to confess it, and turn from it, and turn to the Lord. Well, verse 11, I think, is the key to this whole Psalm 119. We've learned this verse since when? Since you were in children's church, right? Your word. Whose word? Mine? Not my word. Not your word, but God's word. Your word I have hidden where? In my heart. Somebody's not feeling well. Here's the thing. Your word I have hidden in my heart. What does that mean? For me to get something into my heart, it has to enter where? It's got to either go in my eyes or in my ears. Because if it never makes it into my brain, how's it ever going to end up in my heart? Amen? It can't. So here's the thing, and y'all don't get mad at me if this was you this morning. And I won't even ask for people to raise a Bible, because I don't know many people that even bring their Bibles anymore. Most of us, if we're in the habit of bringing our Bible to church, the hard copy, not the electronic. The hard copy, some of us may have a hard time finding it this morning. And some of us, if truth would be known, you had to wipe the dust off of it. How can we learn to obey the Word of God if we're not in the Word of God? If we're not looking at it, if we're not reading it, if we're not listening to it? You know, here's the thing. We won't leave home without our phone, usually. Amen. but it doesn't bother us to leave our home without a Bible. We'll turn around and go back and get our phone, but we'll be turning back to get the Word of God. Psalmist writes here, says, "Your word I have hid in my heart." I have put those things in my heart for a reason. I have allowed the Word of God to speak through my ears, to go through my eyes, to enter into my brain and then into my heart for one purpose. And what was that one purpose? That I might not sin against you. Is that our true desire in our lives? Is our true desire that we would study the Word of God, that we would learn the Word of God, that we would obey the Word of God for the single purpose of not offending God our Father? So that doesn't matter. Oh, but it does. Because if you have no desire to read the Word of God, then you have no desire to please God Himself. Because the two go hand in hand. You say, "Well, I can watch TV." But watching TV is not going to help you get the Word of God into your mind. It's not going to change your actions. So we need to understand that. We need to walk with God. To walk in His ways. The word walk, and we've studied this on Wednesday night several times already, but the word walk, when it's used in Scripture, does not necessarily just mean walking. What does it mean? It means my daily conduct, my daily lifestyle. And so if I want to please God in my daily lifestyle, I have to learn to walk according to His ways. But in order to walk in those ways, I have to know His ways. I have to know what is right. I have to know what is wrong. But how many of us truly have a desire to please God? You want to be blessed? Is there anybody here who does not want to be blessed today? How many of you do want to be blessed? Learn to live God's ways. Learn to keep His commandments. Matter of fact, Jesus said that's not an Old Testament concept, it's a New Testament concept also, because Jesus said, you know, if you love me, keep my commandments. So what better way to show Him who we truly love than to obey what He has commanded us to? How about your life? Have you given your life to Him? That's first and foremost thing we need to do. If we've never trusted Him as our Lord and Savior, then today, let it be the day. Salvation is today. You don't know if you have tomorrow. But as we think about that too, we realize that, you know, maybe we do have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe we are saved. But maybe we have let the world distract us in our walk with the Lord. Maybe there's too much going on in our lives to actually sit down and read the Word of God every day. Can I tell you, if you get up about 15 minutes earlier and make time for God, you'll see a big difference in your life. 15 minutes, is that too much, man? Put God first. We looked at it this past Sunday night. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Let's put Him first. What decision do you need to make today? We stand with you. Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, we thank you and love you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you didn't just leave us guessing what you wanted us to do and what you didn't want us to do. Lord, you loved us enough to record examples throughout the Word of those who did right, for those who did wrong. Lord, often you show us that somewhere along the way, Lord, there's repentance in those folks' lives where they turned from what was wrong and turned to you and did what was right. But Lord, I pray today if there's one who's never trusted you, that today would be the day. Lord, I also pray for those who may have gone astray, Lord, that you would lead them back to you. Lord, I pray that whatever you want to accomplish today, Lord, we would be obedient to your commands. Lord, have your way as only you can. I ask it in Jesus' name.